Welcome to week three of a series that we're calling God Is. You know, if you are joining us, tuning in for the first time in this series, I want to encourage you, go over to our YouTube channel, grab our podcast, and listen to the first 2 weeks of this message series, because I really do believe that in order to understand kind of where we're going, even what we're talking about today, you got to have an understanding of where we've been. And so I encourage you, whenever we're doing a series around here, make sure you're tuning into each one of those messages. They do build on each other, and you'll get the full picture of what we're trying to get across in each one of these message series that we do. But before we dive into week three today, I do want to give you kind of the cliff notes, the summary, just in case you haven't been with us for the last couple of weeks. This series, God is really born out of a heart of just feeling this tension in our world right now. And I don't know if you feel it, but I feel it, and that's where this series is coming from. It just feels like so many people have a negative picture of who God is, or maybe not even necessarily a negative picture, but they just have an inaccurate, an incomplete picture of who God is. And so that's really what we're trying to do in this series. We're trying to help people understand who God really is, his nature, his characteristics, what he is really about. And so in week one, we talked about this idea that God is love. He is love. He loves us. Everything that he does is motivated by love. And that's such a powerful thing for us to understand in a world where there's so much chaos and pain and COVID and natural disasters and sickness. And like there's so much garbage going on in the world. It doesn't feel like God could actually love us and allow those things to happen, but he does. Don't miss that message. And then last week we talked about this idea that God is Lord, that he is the Lord of our life, that he is, yes, he's Savior. He loved us enough to save us from our sin, but because he has saved us, now he must become our Lord. And everything that we do, our entire lives now, is devoted to his mission and his call on our life. Again, don't miss that message. But this week, I want to talk about something that is just so near and dear to my heart. Yes, God is love, God is Lord, but I want to talk about this idea that God is Father, that he is our Father. You see, I believe we need to understand that God is love. We absolutely need to understand that he is Lord. But if we're going to have a full, complete, accurate picture of who God is, and I believe have the relationship with him that he desires, that we were created for, we have to begin to see him as our Father, because that is who he is. He is our heavenly Father. This is such an important characteristic for us to understand, because here's the thing. I don't know about you. I'm going to get raw and I'm going to get real here for a couple of minutes, but I don't know what your relationship is like or was like with your father. But I did not grow up with a great father figure. My father was an alcoholic. He was somebody who battled depression and anxiety. In a lot of ways, he was somewhat self-centered. And from the time I was a little kid, he was in and out of my family's home all the way up until I was a teenager. And so there wasn't a lot of consistency with him. There wasn't a lot of, he wasn't there for a lot of events and important things in my life. He was absent in a lot of ways. And here's the truth. Please hear this. I love my dad. I do. And I'm not bitter against him. I'm not angry or frustrated really anymore. More, I'm just sad that I didn't have growing up the type of dad that I wish that I would have had. But here's what I want you to hear. I'm telling you all that to say this. First of all, I know there are those of you out there who you have not had a great relationship with your dad. And maybe your dad wasn't an addicted person, but maybe he just wasn't present. Maybe he just worked all the time and wasn't around. Maybe he was cold and distant. And if that's you, my heart breaks for you. Because here's what I believe. Everybody deserves to have a great dad, deserves to have a good father. And as I was growing up, I'll tell you what, it messed me up in a lot of ways. Like not having a good dad, it did. It messed with me. It turned me into this person who kind of just, you know, was so dependent, I guess, on myself, because I figured if I was in control and if I was so dependent on me and I didn't need anybody else, then I could never be hurt by anybody else. Nobody could ever let me down if I was the one that was always in control, right? And maybe that's you. Maybe you've faced some of those same daddy issues like I have. For me too, it caused me to become kind of emotionally disconnected, again, for maybe the same reason, right? Like, if I just don't feel, if I don't allow myself to feel, well, then I can't be hurt by somebody who's let me down. And I think in a lot of ways, like even today at 37 years old, I'm approaching 40, and I'm still kind of working through those daddy issues, still trying to figure out how that has affected me and impacted me and how I can kind of move on and get past that. And maybe for you, maybe those aren't the daddy issues that you have, but I think for a lot of people, for boys especially, like this is the reason that guys run to gangs, right? That they become a part of a gang because they're looking for that father figure in their life, for that fatherhood, that brotherhood, right? For women, for girls, I think a lot of times they look to guys, other guys, boys, relationships, right? To kind of fill that void that their father did not fill, that he did not complete in the way that he should have. And so today, here's what I want. Here's what I want more than anything, because this is what's changed my life. There was a point in my life when I was a teenager and I was basically fatherless. I did not have a good father figure. And I woke up one day and God spoke to me and I realized I have a father who will never, ever, ever let me down, who is perfect, my heavenly father. And he desires a relationship with me. He desires to teach me things about life. He wants to wrap his arms around me and love me and care for me and protect me and provide for me. He wants to be that perfect father for me. But I have to allow him to do that. And the first step is to begin to see him that way. And so today, I don't know where you're at with your dad. Maybe you've had an amazing, awesome, great relationship with your father, and praise God for that if you have. But I know that there are so many people who haven't, who you've been hurt and damaged by your relationship with your father. I know there are those who maybe you just grew up without a father at all. You didn't have a father figure in your life at all. And sadly, I know that there are those of you right now who are sitting here, you're watching, and your dad's gone. He's not here anymore. God took him, probably maybe before it was time or it was ready, or maybe you're a little bit older and you're getting into the later season of your life and your dad's gone. Like, my heart breaks for anybody who doesn't have that father figure in their life anymore, or who maybe never had one, or who had a bad one. But here's the great news today. My life has been changed because of my understanding of my heavenly father, that God is father. And so I want to unpack this just for a few minutes today. What does that mean? Like, what does it mean? Is it the same as like an earthly father, or is it different? And so today I want to encourage you, if you've got a Bible, open them up. If you've got a Bible app on your phone or an iPad, open that up. We're going to dig into God's word here for a few minutes. We're going to look at what God has to say about himself as father. Today we're going to be starting in Ephesians verse 3, and we're going to start with something that I think is so vitally important for us to grasp. This concept alone, I think, could change everything. And it's the first thing, it's the most important thing that we have to understand, because until we get this, until we understand this, I don't think we'll ever look at God as our father. We will always look at him as this kind of cold, distant, you know, God who's kind of just pulling the puppet strings, but he will never be a personal, relational God until we understand this one thing, and that is this, that you have been chosen, that you have been adopted into the family of God. And this is so incredibly powerful. And when we begin to understand this, it should change everything about our relationship with God and our heavenly Father. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world." Did you hear that? He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world, he knew that he was going to send Christ to die for us, to pay the penalty for our sins, so that we could become a part of his family, so that we could become adopted into his family. That is the price that God, your Father, paid for you to be a part of his family. It says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for what? For adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. He predestined us for adoption to sonship, to daughtership through Jesus Christ. We have been chosen. Your heavenly Father chose you to be a part of his family. As many of you know, we adopted, Autumn and I adopted our son Logan just a few months ago. And I read something that really, really hit me just a few weeks actually after the adoption was finalized. You see, when you have your own kids, yes, in a way you kind of choose them, or at least sometimes you choose them, sometimes you don't, right? But when you have your own kids, you don't really choose them. They come, they arrive into the world, they kind of are who they are. Yes, they're yours. You and hopefully your wife have created this amazing thing, but you don't really choose them, right? But when you adopt, you choose that child. Whether you're adopting an infant and you have gone to another country, or you're adopting here in the United States, you choose that child. You choose to bring them into your home, right? And in the case of Logan, we went through the foster process, right? When Logan came to us, he was 5 years old already. He had lived 5 years of life. And when he came into our home, he came with all kinds of history, right? He came with baggage, just like all of us would come with at the age of five. He came with stuff that he was dealing with. He came with a personality already shaped and formed. He came with habits. And what just really hit me, what struck me, is that we chose Logan. We chose him. We didn't have to adopt him. We could have fostered him for a little while and then said, you know what? He's not for us. We didn't do that. We decided that we love this little boy. We want him to live with us forever. And we're going to show him. We're going to teach him. We're going to show him the love and the care that he needs. We're going to help him work through his stuff. We're going to help him work through his baggage. We chose him. And this is what I don't want you to miss. In the exact same way, your heavenly Father has chosen you with all of your baggage and all of your stuff and all of the junk that you carry around with you and your personality and all of the challenges that you have in your life. He still wanted you. He chose you. And that alone should just cause us to look at God in a different way. That he loved us enough to choose us, to want us to be a part of his family. And he paid a great price for us through Jesus Christ. You see, adoption is expensive, right? It costs something. If you adopt a child from another country, it's unbelievably expensive. If you adopt a child from the United States, it's still expensive. And even when you foster, and many of those costs are taken care of, there's still a huge cost. There's a disruption to your life. Before Logan came into our home, Autumn and I had a really easy, cushy life. I'm not gonna lie. We could come and go as we please. If we wanted to go out to dinner or go to a movie anytime we want, we could just do it, right? There's a cost of freedom when you adopt, right? There's a financial cost. You now have to pay for food and clothing and shelter for that child, right? There's a massive cost. And in the same way, when you were adopted into the family of God, there was a price, there was a cost, and the cost was the life of God's own son, Jesus Christ. If you hear nothing else today in this message, hear this. You have been chosen. You have been adopted into the family of God, and with that comes all of the benefits that come with being a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, with being a child of the God of the universe. And that's what I want to dig into next for just a few minutes. Once we understand that we've been chosen, that we've been adopted, it should change the way we feel about God. God, you are my dad. You are my father. You welcome me with open arms, and you want to give me the blessings that come with being a part of your family. We are now heirs. We are going to inherit the good things that God wants to give to us. So here's the question now. And this is going to be the rest of the message. What is that? I mean, what does that look like? What are the attributes of a good father? What are those gifts, those things that he wants to give us now as a part of his family that we would not have if we did not accept his adoption of us into his family? First of all, a good father provides. He provides. He is a provider. That is what a good father does, right? And I think in our world, we think, oh, God, you know, guys, yeah, husbands, fathers, they're supposed to provide and protect, right? And that means going out, getting a job, making money, putting food on the table, right? Putting clothing on their backs. But it's so much more than that. Your Heavenly Father wants to provide so much more than just those basic needs. He wants to provide not only for the physical, but for the spiritual. I love what Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7, says. Listen to this. This is what your Heavenly Father wants to give to you. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father, your Father in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? What does he provide for you? He provides good gifts, it says, to those who ask him. You see, our Heavenly Father, he wants to give us good gifts. Now, let me put this disclaimer out there, because I think there's a lot of messages, false messages going around in our world today that say if you just ask God and pray in enough faith, he's going to give you everything you want. And that includes money and cars and houses and women and all the desires of your heart. But here's what we need to understand. When this says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you, this is talking about asking God for his good gifts. And his good gifts are not the same as the world's good gifts. In fact, they are so much better. And when we ask God for him to give us his gifts, the things that he desires for our life, he will pour them out in abundance. He will give them to us freely, and he will never, ever stop. So the question is, what are those gifts? What does your Heavenly Father want to provide to you? Number one, love. He provides love. In the midst of this world, there are days, I'm not going to lie, where I don't feel loved, where I don't feel appreciated, where I don't feel respected, right? And I think every one of us feels that. But I know that my Heavenly Father, no matter how bad of a day I've had, no matter how unloved I feel, or no matter how much I don't feel like I deserve love, he is there to love me. Every day when I walk through the metaphorical door of my Father's house, he is there with open arms to say, I love you, Justin. And yeah, you might have messed up today. And yeah, you might not feel like you deserve it, but you are my son and I love you. And on the days when we forget this, and this is why you got to go back and watch week one of this message series. Here's how I know God loves me. Because Jesus Christ died for my sin. He paid the penalty for my sin so that I could be a part of his family. That is how much he loves me. And he loves you just the same. He provides love. Endless, unconditional, never-ending love in the midst of a world that can feel so unloving. When we feel so unlovable, he is there to love us. That is just, maybe if there's nothing else that he provides, that alone is a game changer for every one of us. But he doesn't just provide love, he provides wisdom. Through his word, he has given us this thing called the Bible, scripture, his holy, perfect word. And he wants to teach us. He is a teacher That is God the Father at the core of who he is. He is a teacher. He wants us to grow and develop and learn. He wants to teach us valuable life lessons, right? Doesn't every father, good father anyway, want to teach their kids good things? Right? They want to teach them valuable life lessons. I do. Like just a couple of months ago, or I don't know, maybe it's a year ago now, we were getting out of the car and we had just gone to get groceries. It was just Logan and I. And as we opened the trunk of the car and got ready to go in the house, I taught Logan one of the most valuable lessons that any father can teach a son or a daughter. And that is this, that you never take multiple trips with groceries from the car to the house when you can do it all in one trip. Can I get an amen, right? I mean, you might throw out your back or tear a bicep, but if you can get every single bag from the car to the house in one trip, man, let me tell you something. That is a victory, right? That's how you do it. You never take multiple trips when you can just take one, right? Teaching valuable lessons. This is what good fathers are about. And your Heavenly Father, he wants to teach you every valuable lesson in the book. He wants you to live a better life. He wants you to live with less regrets and make better decisions as you navigate through life because he loves you. And so he's going to teach you. He's going to provide that wisdom. He's going to provide love. He's going to provide wisdom. He's going to provide peace and comfort. This is so huge. Right? I don't know about you, but there are days when I just feel no peace. There are days when I need comfort in, when I'm going through challenges in my life, when there are, you know, the world is in chaos and it feels like it's burning to the ground. Like I need his peace and comfort. I need to be able to walk into my Father's arms, have him put his arms around me and say, Justin, it's going to be okay. Like I know the end of the story, Justin. I've got all of this under control, right? Like we need his peace and his comfort on those days when we can't find peace or comfort in anything else. And then finally, he provides patience. He provides patience for us, right? He helps us to see that things don't always have to happen on our time. He's patient with us, right? He provides this patience as we mess up and screw up over and over again. He provides that unconditional love. He provides new mercies every single day. He's patient with us. And I am so glad that he's patient with me. Because there are things in my life where it seems like I just keep messing up and messing up over and over again, no matter how hard I try. He's so patient with us. He gives us chance after chance after chance. He forgives us over and over again. He is a patient, loving, teaching God who provides all of those things limitlessly if we will allow him to. But there's a second thing, and this one's a little bit harder for us to accept, but it is so important for us. He provides discipline. A good father always disciplines. Why? Because he loves us, because he wants us to get better. He allows us to go through some difficult things, to discipline us, to train us so that we can be better. This is what Hebrews 12, 4 through 8 says. I love this. It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Did you hear that? The Lord disciplines the ones that he loves. It's not the ones that he doesn't love. It's the ones that he does love that receive the discipline. It says, he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate. You are not true sons and daughters at all. He disciplines us because he loves us. There isn't a parent in the world who loves their child who does not discipline them. Parents who love their kids, they discipline their kids. Why? Because we want them to grow. We don't want them to continue to make the same mistakes over and over again. We don't want them to make decisions that are going to be detrimental to their life. And in the same way, your Heavenly Father, He is disciplining you. If you are going through some level of discipline right now, it is because He is trying to make you better. He is trying to help you. He provides. He is a good Father. He provides love and wisdom, and He teaches and He disciplines, all in the name of love. But here's the question. Here's the thing that we've kind of got to wrestle to the ground today. In order to receive all of the things that our Heavenly Father wants to offer us, the relationship, the connection, we have to believe it. We have to believe that we have been adopted into His family, that He is our Father, because we don't receive any of that until we do. That is the start. To accept that He has adopted us into His family is the beginning of receiving all that He wants to offer and to give us. And so today, as we get ready to close, I want to end with this. If you have never had a father, if you didn't have a good one, if you've lost yours, again, my heart breaks for you, because I have been there. I am there. And someone needs to hear this right now. You have a Heavenly Father who loves you, who gave up His one and only Son to pay the price for your adoption, who paid a huge, costly price so that you could be a part of His family. Jesus paid that price. And he is welcoming you into His family, but you have to accept it. You have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and what He did on the cross to become a part of that family. But here's the good news. Once you do that, God will begin to work on you and change you. He will begin to develop a relationship with you. He will begin to pour out all of those gifts, those good gifts that He promises to you, and your life will never be the same. And so if that's you today, I want to encourage you. Accept Him as your Heavenly Father today. Embrace Him as your Father. You don't have to go through this life without a daddy anymore. You don't have to go through this life without a dad, without a father. That changed my life as a teenager. From that point forward, from the moment I understood that, my life has never been the same. And I have always had a dad I could look up to and count on. And I think we all want that and we all need that. Would you do that today? If you've never accepted the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, accept it and be welcomed in, be adopted in to the family. But for those of us who have, for those of us who've made that decision to follow Christ, we're already a part of the family. Here's my question to you. Are we actually allowing God to be our Father? I mean, just really, take a hard look in the mirror for a second. Are we really allowing Him to be the Father to us that He wants and desires to be? Number one, are we allowing Him to love us when we don't feel loved? Are we running to Him? Are we going to Him? When we need wisdom, are we going to Him and seeking His wisdom? Are we allowing Him to teach us? Are we receiving His peace and His comfort? I mean, there's a lot of people who are just not at rest, not at peace right now in the world that we're living in. Your Heavenly Father wants to give you that. Are you allowing Him to give that to you? And are you allowing Him to discipline you? Are you accepting and receiving the discipline that He might be trying to pour out on you right now, in this moment, or in the past, or in the future? Are you allowing Him to discipline you? Look to Him. Here's my challenge to you today. If He is your Father, look to Him. Run to Him when you are hurting, when you are in need, when you don't know what to do. He will provide. That is what a good Father does. But we have to actually see Him that way, and we have to embrace Him as our Father and allow Him to do the work that He wants to do. He can't be our Father if we won't allow Him to be our Father. Don't reject Him. Don't reject Him. He's standing there with open arms, just waiting, waiting for you to embrace him as your heavenly Father. That is my hope and my prayer for you today, for us as a faith community, that we would see our God as Father. You know, we're going to sing a song here in just a moment. It talks about how we are sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters. And this song, as it plays, as you listen to it, I want to encourage you. Listen to the words. Allow these words to just resonate in your heart today. If you've never felt like you were a son or a daughter, if you've felt like you weren't worthy, if you weren't acceptable to him, know this, that Jesus makes you acceptable. And that because of him, you get to be a part of the family. Let's sing these words. Let's meditate on these words just for a moment. And remember that we are sons and daughters of God.